your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday night gathering here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And here we are, another hot night in Minnesota. Although I do think the temperatures are going down, Heidi.
I hope so. It's been in the 90s. And here in Minnesota, that's just hot.
All summer it's been that way.
That's all right. I mean, considering what's coming, I'll take it, but it's been a bit much. But
yeah, I can't handle it anymore. Oh, well.
That's all right, because here we are on the Para-X Network. Mm-hmm. I can't even talk, it's so hot. For our Tuesday night show, and I'm excited. We have a listener topic tonight, Steph.
We do. Isn't that fun?
It is. So it's always cool.
It's always fun when you all suggest topics for us, and then we have to go out there and do a little research and figure them out. But usually one of us has had experience with it, even though we may not have known the real name of it. So Heidi has had experience with the topic tonight. I have not. I've been doing a little research about it. So hopefully everybody will chime in, too, on the chat room and tell us what they know, and we'll tell you what we know. But we're going to talk about other kinds of kinesis as
kinesis.
Well. Kinesis. I'm having a hard time here tonight.
Or psychosis or whatever.
whatever
we're going to talk about. Who knows?
Exactly.
And we're not together tonight. We're not in Stephanie's studio or Heidi's studio. We're separate. Well, we're both in both studios, I guess you could say that. Just for logistics tonight. So
we're a little disjointed, forgive us, because normally we're looking at each other and,
Right.
We are here.
Even though we are on Skype, it's different. But that's all right.
Yeah.
So it's been a busy week for both of us, I know. We're just jam-packed. And once again, Steph and I, as we're working on schedules and stuff, I have totally, just blown up my schedule and messed everything up again. So I don't know. My deal is this summer. I don't think I've ever had this many scheduling issues that are self-created. That's where it comes down to it. So I think it's just being so busy, I can't even think straight.
And that is what it is. But we're still in Mercury retrograde, which it's ending this week, correct?
Yeah.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Can't handle it anymore.
My goodness. But it's been a busy week. I had a really fun weekend this weekend. I had my paranormal group meeting on Friday night, which was always a good time. We always have between 17 and 22 people that show up. So.
Nice.
It's always a good group, and we always have really interesting things to, talk about or listen to or whatever. And then I taught Reiki this weekend. I had a 2-day class this weekend, so that was really fun.
Oh, fun. And Gina came to that, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Yes.
Great to see her. She actually came to the meetup, too, on Friday night.
She did.
Paranormal group, yeah. She's, she thought, well, I'm going to be in town anyway, so if there's a spot, I'll come. I'm like, yeah, there's a spot. So she signed up. And so she was able to join that as well. And I think she said she had a good time, and I believe her. And, because it falls into the category of the whole squatching, paranormal, whatever, just outside of the norm. So, yeah, it was fun to see her this weekend, too. She's one of our partners in crime in Squatchers. So for those of you that are listening. So
she is. Yeah, she is. We love Gina. And she is probably one of the most positive people I've ever known in my life. I mean, she just is cheerful and everything's good. And if you say, oh, I'm so dumb. No, this is, blah, blah, blah. She's always right there. And, it's like, whatever. So that's fun. I love it. So you've been busy. I didn't have any paranormal things happening this weekend. I was kind of busy. My daughter Casey had her first, she had her EP release show, which was really fun.
And what's that?
Well, they released their new songs on an EP. Oh. Is it an EP or limited? You know what? I don't know. It's a little, there's like four songs on it. You know, it's like what do they call that CD? But it's because there's only four songs on that. It's a shortened one, you know? So, and then they released their video. So they have a video for one of their songs. So they debuted that at the show and it was really fun. We knew a lot of people there, of course, because they all came to see it and just very fun. So that was fun. And then I did some stuff around the house. My sister had knee surgery, so I was kind of looking after her. And I've been busy, you know. So, oofta, you know, it never slows up. Yeah, an EP. See, Braden knows EP.
Everybody seems to know on the chat room.
And Dave is laughing at me because he's like, "Oh my god, I know, right? I know all these bands. I'm in this field for sure with my feet firmly in, and I still don't know all the jargon." Oh well. Is what it is. So we have this topic tonight called, you say it because I don't think I'm pronouncing it right.
It is called aerokinesis.
Yes.
And
yes.
That was our listener topic. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And as we talk about it, those of you that are listening or in the chat room, if you want to send us your chat room messages, if you have any personal experiences or questions about this, we'll do our best to answer questions. Mm-hmm. And I threw into the ad, too, because a lot more people have heard of telekinesis. I think more people have heard of that. So we'll talk a little bit about that and some other interesting phenomena that kind of falls into a similar category. We'll just call it the kinesis category.
Kinesic category. So you know what? Since our first one is aerokinesis, I'm just going to read a little paragraph or two that I've found online that tells everyone what it is if you don't know, because a lot of people don't. So aerokinesis is the elemental ability to create, control, and manipulate air and wind in a variety of offensive or defensive ways. Is that true, Heidi? That's interesting. It is one of the four elements that make up atmokinesis. Mm-hmm. It is also an ability that the children of Zeus, Jupiter, Poseidon, Neptune, and Anamoi possess. So it goes way back to mythology, right? And all these gods. So interesting. Abilities, you know, air blasts, flight, cloud manipulation, storm manipulation. I mean, that's kind of wild stuff when you think about this. I mean, if people can actually do this, wow.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You know, you think about, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, is this real? Well, if it is, wow, right? Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, when I looked it up and I thought, because we heard the topic through our chat room too, and it was aerokinesis, and you know, it sounds like I should know what it is, and then I don't, and then I look at it like you did. I looked it up and I went, oh my goodness, I had let's, you know, think about this for another second and you'd get it. And it seems impossible. But then I think about some personal experiences that I've had, and I'm not saying it is or isn't. I won't say it is or isn't because I don't know. But it makes me think about these experiences, and so those are some of the things that I wanted to share on the show tonight. And then that is an obvious, you know, transition into things that more of us have heard about with telekinesis, and so we can talk about that too because I think it's more of an expanded topic than just aerokinesis. You know, but certainly as people have stories or if they have stories around aerokinesis specifically, we'd love to hear them.
And what I found too, looking this up online, is that there are loads of websites training people how to do this. Like,
absolutely.
I'm looking at this one right here. And it talks about, you know, aerokinesis is defined as one natural's ability to manifest energy and control air. And then, so then it tells you, go outside, meditate for an hour, only takes a small amount of concentration. And now think what the wind would feel like hitting you from the direction of your choice. Okay. So it does go into this and then it goes on and on and on and on about how to do this.
I mean, I was shocked at how many sites are out there.
I mean, yeah, right.
And it's like, oh, well, that's, I mean, and it's cool too. So I actually did. Okay. So this morning when I was letting my dog out, I decided to try it because I had looked on and I probably found some of the same sites you did, Steph. And
yeah,
I thought, okay, I'm going to see what happens. So I let my dog out and he's doing his business and I stand there and there's these tall weeds that are as tall as me, you know, off in the distance or not weeds, but you know, whatever shrubbery stuff. Yeah. And so I stood there and just did a little meditation and then I had my hands out and I was doing a meditation around getting these whatever shrubby, tall, grassy things to move. And they started to swirl around. And I was like, how cool is this? But I don't know. Is it the wind? Is it something I was doing? Is it a combination of both? I couldn't prove anything. And there was nobody there anyway. And I wasn't filming it. So, because I just wanted to try it. And I thought, well, it's just a very cool coincidence. If it just happened to catch a little gust of wind right then, I was kind of pleased with myself. But there's so many websites. I was shocked at how many websites are out there that talk about how to do it and what it is. Yeah.
And so some that's go into very cool. Big detail. And there's so many of them. It's like, oh my God. I mean, I guess I haven't tried it, but maybe I've got to do that. Maybe, you know what I mean?
Well, it's an interesting thing to think about. And, you know, I know that there's loads of skeptics out there, but who knows? You know, you don't know. And I don't know. I think trying it somewhere or, you know, seeing if it, if you can get something to happen, why not? I mean, well, if you've got the time, it sounds like it takes quite a bit of time. I would assume I would hope it would actually. You don't want people just going whipping up tornadoes or something.
No.
You know, just get mad at your neighbor and you whip over a tornado at their garden to
I'm gonna show you and then you know what I mean? But
And I'm looking in the chat room here and Karen said, I read somewhere that the government has done extensive research into this.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Probably.
You know.
I would expect they've probably dumped tons of money onto something like that. So it'd be interesting if we ever got to know some findings. I mean, Karen, if you happen to know if there's any findings published anywhere, go ahead and let us know.
Yeah, just look at it. Because that's totally interesting. Now, Mike is saying air takes so little energy to move because it's so fluid. He wonders if humidity makes a difference, easier or harder. Well, I would say if it's humid like it is in Minnesota right now, it might be a little harder to move that air, to manipulate it, because it's heavy.
Well, it's possible, unless you are, let's see here, where's the hydrokinesis? Which is the ability to create and control water. So if you're into or able to do hydrokinesis, then maybe the humidity works in your advantage.
That's
works to your advantage, I should say. So I have my little list of the different types of kinesis, and I'm sure it's not the whole list, but I have a short list here. So, I wonder, though, if it, because it, would it be heavier? I would assume so, because there's water in the air, so it would be heavier. That would make it tough. Yeah, so it's an interesting phenomenon, and they call it they also call it air bending. Is what I was seeing online too. Is you know, you're doing aerokinesis or you're an airbender or you know those kinds of terms. I guess I don't know if there's other terms. Those are what I saw when I was looking it up, and you know, it's interesting because I was talking to you before we got started that I've had a couple of experiences with this, but again, I don't know if it's aerokinesis or just something else, some other phenomenon, but I thought I would bring it up during the show because it's interesting. And I haven't really thought about it. I've thought about the experiences, but not if it could be put into any kind of category or anything. So anyway, I've got, so I'll jump in here with a couple of my, my situations that I've had. One was, oh gosh, probably 8 or 9 years ago. And I was doing a home clearing, and the people I was with, I felt just this overwhelming, you know, rush come out of me that towards this entity that we were doing this home clearing. And I was in the towards the back of the group. You know, there was like three or four of us there, and I think I was third. There was someone behind me and people in front of me, and I was just overcome with this. Not anger, but really just irritation that this spirit was doing what it was doing. And I don't even know what it was doing, but I just remember I was really frustrated that the spirit was trying to take over like this. And this surge of energy came up with this frustration that I can't really explain. And this, I just felt this whoosh move forward. And I didn't know if it was from coming from behind me, but it didn't really feel like it. It just felt like it was coming out of me. And it went straight at where this entity was, this thing that was standing kind of in the corner of this room. And the people that were ahead of me, I saw them kind of move funny, and both turned around and went, "What the H was that?" And they were looking at me. They're like, "Did you feel that?" And I'm standing there like, "What?" And the person behind me didn't know what they were talking about. And I said, "Did you feel that?" And they said, "Yeah, what was it?" And I said, "I don't know, but I think it just came out of me." And they said it felt like a huge gust of wind. And I'm like, "Really?" Because I didn't know, I didn't do anything with intention. But they said it felt like we got blasted with a gust of wind. And because I didn't know, they described it after. I said, "Well, I felt something come out of me. I don't know, you felt it?" And they said, "Yeah, that's what it felt like." And I thought, "Oh gosh, okay. Well, that's weird."
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's what that was. I was certainly not doing it with intention, whatever it was. So it was just, you're okay there?
Yeah, I'm just uncomfortable tonight for some reason. Sorry, I'm having a hard time with my headset, so I'm
going to say
talk. I'm going to put it on mute for a minute so not everybody hears it.
Okay. So anyway, so yeah, it was an interesting experience because it really was, there was a lot of emotion that went with it and a lot of depth that came up with it. So anyway, so it came flying out. These people felt whatever it was, turned around and told me what it felt like to them. And they said it was a big gust of air. And frankly, the spirit was gone after that. So, or the entity, whatever it was that we were dealing with, that was a long time ago, it was gone. And so I don't know if it was because of the work we were doing, because of the gust of wind, both, all things together. I don't know.
Or maybe the spirit going created that wind kind of thing going on or something.
Well,
you know?
He was still standing there. And then,
oh, he was when it happened.
When
oh.
it happened. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I don't know, you know, how it all played together. I'm sure it all contributed. It was all part of it. It wasn't just me. It was, I would never say that. But I don't know. I think it was interesting. So, yeah. So that's one story that I thought I would share. And I thought that was kind of weird, you know. And again, can I say it's aerokinesis? Heck no. I have no idea what it was.
Yeah.
But when they described it like a gust of wind, I think about that. And I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know. A group of us, Karen is saying in the chat room, a group of us about 9 years ago bent a spoon. Really? Now that would be telekinesis. But we'll get to that topic here in a minute. I want to continue with aerokinesis. And then Mike is saying in the chat room, interesting thought, do you move the air or the moisture or the dust in the air? I don't know. Like, you mean with intention? I guess I'm not sure of the question. Do you move the air
or
the moisture?
Move the molecules or whatever that's in it, the moisture, the dust, whatever.
I don't know. I guess I don't know how it works. I would assume because everything is energy, it's the energy of and the connection with that element of air. You know, I would think some of it comes on a spiritual level where you're connecting with the energy of the element. So, I mean, if I'm doing it, if I think about it, and do it with intention, which I don't do this. I don't know how to do it, but I would think that you would connect with the energy of air.
Right.
And in doing so, come, you know, learning how to feel the energy of it to enough to be able to move it or manipulate it or work with it to have it go a direction of your intention, I guess. So I don't know. I would think that it's the energy. I don't know that you're moving the moisture of the air or the dust, because I don't know that there would be enough of it.
Right.
Don't you think? It's the energy,
right.
Which is the air.
Yeah, that's what I would think. You're moving the energy that makes the air go is what I'm thinking. You know, we have to have energy to move anything, right? So it doesn't matter if it's the wind or this air or the objects that you're trying to move.
So Braden's saying, I'm not sure that was aerokinesis. Based on Well, okay. So that's what I'm finding when I look up aerokinesis, because I wanted to make sure I was talking about the right thing. What he's learned, there's something about outside energy that allows you to do this stuff. Saying it's harder to do it inside than outside. Well, I would assume so, but air is mm-hmm. air. You know, mm-hmm. if you're talking about the element of wind, mm-hmm. that might be more of an outside thing, don't you think, Steph?
Yeah.
And
for sure.
Versus inside, for but sure. I was inside when this happened, but I have yeah. been outside. I have other situations that I was outside and this happened. Mm-hmm. So that was just the first mm-hmm. one that I can think of that I'm aware of in my existence.
Yeah. And there's air everywhere, right? So I would assume it doesn't matter if you're inside or outside. If you have this ability that you can bend this air or make it move differently, doesn't matter if you're inside or outside. I mean, if you're trying to create a tornado thing or a crazy whirlwind, you probably have to be outside where there's more of it, but I don't mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I'm just assuming aerokinesis is air in general, which is everywhere, and it could be inside and outside. And again, my example being inside, I'm not saying I was doing it, but I would assume that it's just meaning any kind of air that yeah. You don't have to be outside. And maybe right. it is easier to do it outside because you have natural flow yeah. mm-hmm. of air and wind anyway, you know, mm-hmm. Working to your advantage.
Yeah, makes sense.
So Mike is saying, there are theories like string theory that the air or objects are not moving, but that space-time is moving. Gravity moves. Oh, people are typing. I'm losing my spot.
People are really digging this subject. I love it.
Yeah. Gravity moves without energy transference by the bending of space-time. Well, okay. But then as I'm looking this up, I'm seeing that there's chronokinesis, which is the ability to slow down or speed up perception of time, creating time warps or even wormholes. So is that a different type of kinesis? Possibly. I don't know. And that's what I was like when I was looking up the different types of kinesis. I'm like, gosh, there's a lot out there that all makes sense when you read them. And do I know they exist or not? No, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. So do we know exactly how it works or what it is? I don't think so. Because how would you measure this? I guess you could somehow if you had the right equipment. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's interesting nonetheless. And Mike is asking, is that how some people
can make
a candle move? You candle like just float through the air? Is that what you're asking, Mike?
And I wonder if it's just the flame, you know, because if the flame is just quiet and all of a sudden, you know, you could make it move. Oh. I guess that would be a good way to practice it, actually, is on a candle.
It would be hard to practice with a candle, though, because a candle is so sensitive to any kind of shift in... Mm-hmm. You'd have to have a...
That's true.
You need air for the fire. And right. So if you have a room without air, you won't have a fire. So that would be...
Yes.
My head's starting to get...
Well, sore. All of this makes my head kind of... Ooh, you know.
It's like, wait a minute. I don't know how you'd test it. But, you know, I've done... I guess something, you know, similar where I've done meditations and, you know, worked with candle energy and communication. And I don't know if that was happening as well, but I felt like it was. Mm-hmm. But the candle flame was moving and it was only moving when I would do certain things or ask certain things. And I was sitting still. I say do certain things. It's more like with my mind. But I don't know. And some of this feels like it's getting into the, oh, moving the flame. So that's what, yeah, Steph, he did mean mm-hmm. just moving mm-hmm. the flame. So, but that would be hard to test too. Like I said, I mean, you'd have to have no air current or air, but you need air for the fire. So that would, how would you establish mm-hmm. no air movement?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a hard, I don't know where you'd do that. I'm mm-hmm. sure there are places I just probably can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. It would be interesting to try. It makes me think like I'd want to go outside every day and do it and just see if I can get it to kick up. But then I'm not a huge fan of wind either. So is this something I want to practice? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, probably not.
You know, because wind, as soon as you get wind, you've got hair in your lip gloss. That's
you
all
betcha.
I have to say.
You betcha. And then it's just a big pain in the butt. I know. That's what I think too. And then the hair, you know, you can spend a lot of time. Your hair looks nice and you go outside and it's windy and whoosh, it's, you know, there you go. Yeah.
I know. It's not all from about the hair. But
from a girl's perspective, I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm sure some guys feel the same way. So
yeah, I'm sure.
And Karen is saying, I'm not sure that tornadoes cannot be created inside.
Yeah, probably.
So are you saying that they can be created inside? I would think they could be. If you get good enough at aerokinesis, I bet you could whip up a small one in your house. I don't know that you want to.
Probably could. Learn to control the air to keep hair out of your lip gloss, Mike is saying.
That would be worth it right there. Learning how to do it.
Make ourselves like a bubble so the air doesn't get to us, so it doesn't go in the glass.
Worth it.
That would be good, you know. And then Karen is saying Native Americans routinely called up the wind and the rain, and this is true. I mean, we've heard of that. So is there a kinesis about rain too, about water?
Hydrokinesis.
Hydro, mm-hmm. And that's rain, huh? Hydro.
Well, water.
Interesting.
Yeah, so hydrokinesis, let me see, I'll scroll down my little list here. Hydrokinesis, yeah, ability to create or control water. Mm-hmm. And it's in this non-authenticated, non-scientific site that I found this on. It says, in many ways, this is like telekinesis, but can only influence molecules in liquid state, which I guess, even though water comes in many forms, but that would be hydrokinesis. So,
well, and when you think about it, you know, Carr made a good point about the Native Americans, because we've all heard, you know, they do the rain dance, they do the, you know, all these dances. Well, maybe that's what they were doing, conjuring up rain and being able to move around, you know, this hydrokinesis thing and, you know, bring rain.
Well, yeah, if you have people that's what they do every day is focus on working with the elements and, you know, everything is connected, so becoming part of this element energy, you know, I could see it. So
absolutely. And then Braden is saying, I wonder if more people, more energy, could create a more powerful current. I would say yes. Would say yes.
Yeah. And then Mike is asking, do different people use energy at different frequencies and phases that may not add together? I don't know what that is meaning. I would think that just in general, someone that has a stronger energy themselves could maybe do this, maybe be better at it, stronger at it. Could you get more people together that do this on a regular basis to be, you know, create some kind of stronger current? I would think so, but you'd have to try it and see.
Yeah. It's all interesting stuff. It's really fascinating, actually, isn't it?
Right. And Mike is saying, yeah, after thinking about it, a group would probably synchronize and work together. Sure. I would assume so. Sure. I mean, with anything, anytime people come together and focus on a specific intention, over time, I would think that they could do something or make a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what an interesting topic, for sure.
It is an interesting topic. And, you know, then the more we talk about it, the more we think about all that we've heard about things maybe not called that, but we're definitely that, you know, over the years and history and whatever. So it's been around for a long time, evidently. You know, we just, Karen is saying, even if everyone's energy isn't at the same wavelength, it all works to the highest good, like an orchestra, Mike says.
Interesting. Interesting that we zipped through a half hour already.
Right? And look at all these observations by our fabulous listeners in the chat room. This is so fun.
Yeah,
we love
thank
this.
You. And I have some other stories I want to share, but we'll do that after our break.
Yeah, so we're going to break. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the ParaX Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making ParaX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the ParaX Radio Network.
Demons. Friday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show.
What are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Gathering here on the Para X Network. And we, Stephanie and I, have been talking about aerokinesis tonight.
Mm-hmm. What a fascinating subject.
Right? And it's brought in by one of our listeners, so thank you for sending us that topic. It's been really interesting. And we've had some interesting conversations and comments in our chat room, so thank you, everybody, yes, for your input. There's a couple of, if I can read through the list, Steph, of the things, the different types of kinesis that I found. And it almost feels like I'm reading through, and I'm sure this is how comic book characters come up, because they read through lists like this, and you think of these comic book characters, mm-hmm, and you think, wow, okay, I get this. So we talked about aerokinesis and atmokinesis, which is aerokinesis is controlling the wind or manipulating the wind. Atmokinesis is just a general controlling the atmosphere, and that gets broken down into some of the other that are further here on the list. Biokinesis, ability to alter your genes or another human or animal forms, alter their genes. And then it says, warning, this should not be done except by a key practitioner. Mm. It's very dangerous. I'm like, I don't think I'd want anybody doing that.
No.
I don't think the warning is necessary. It's like, just don't. Okay, people?
Yeah.
Chronotelekinesis, ability to move people or animals through time. Mm-hmm. And then that was chronotelekinesis. So that's moving people and animals through time. Then chronokinesis is the ability to slow down or speed up one's perception of time. And so that's the difference there. Electrokinesis, ability to create and control electricity. And then they have variations of that. Hydrokinesis, we talked about with water.
Yeah.
Magnokinesis, with magnetic fields, metal and magnets. Photokinesis, control and manipulate light. And then, right? And then pyrokinesis, ability to create and control fire. And telekinesis, control and move objects. So that was my little list that I found when I was digging. And then Karen said, I think we have all had chronokinesis. Yeah, right? The ability to manipulate time or perception of time. And yeah. I totally agree.
Because
you have those, moments that time feels like it's standing still. And you have those times that it just zips by. And so, right? Chronokinesis just... And I don't know if it's intentional or it's based on your interest in doing something or, the pace that something is happening or the amount of fear that's involved, adrenaline, whatever. So, that one's interesting because I don't understand how it works, but it's interesting to think about how that's something that if that's what it is, we've all experienced it,
We have, for sure. So Dave, of course, is being Ghost Dance is being funny and says, I thought photokinesis was done in Photoshop. When you were going over the list, Heidi, I was thinking about you know, one of my favorite books ever is Twilight. Okay, laugh if you must, but whatever, it is what it is. Love the vampires. But all the vampires have these unique abilities. And if you're in that last book where they all come together to help, you know, the baby, every one of those vampires had one of these special powers, you know, the ability to move water, the ability to move air, the ability to do the time thing. I mean, you know, it's really funny that the author of those books must have read this whole list of Kinesis things. I'm just saying.
Well, no, but it's good material if you're going to write a supernatural book or some kind of superhero or comic series. I mean, you've got tons of material right here
you
for your
do.
Characters.
Absolutely. Well, and they're even saying that, you know, the Greek gods, you know, Zeus had the ability to do this and others. So, yeah, interesting stuff, really.
Right. So when we talk about chronokinesis, you know, since that is in our chat room right now, chronokinesis, I think I told you about that story where I was coming back from the Palmer House in April. Mm-hmm. And it's to go from Sauk Center, Minnesota to Richfield is easily 2 hours,
if not a little more. For sure.
And when we left the coffee shop, stopping to get coffee, left at 8:30, an hour and 15 minutes, I'm pulling into Richfield, and I did not speed. I did not go over the speed limit. It was just a normal drive. And every single one of us was confused because of, where did that almost hour of time, how did that go? You know, how did we do it an hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah.
And it's a 2 hour and 15 minute trip. And I had one of my crystal balls with me and frankly was boxed up in the trunk. And when I had to put her in there, she did not care for that. Although I wouldn't want to be boxed up and put in the trunk either. So,
right.
And so she said that, she, you know, cause my crystal ball tells me things and that's how life is good. And she didn't like it. And so when I was talking to those in the other two in the car, Cindy and Tim, I said, how did we do this? How did we get here in an hour and a half? And I hear her in the back say, well, how did you think you got here so fast?
She pushed you.
I don't, she's like, I don't want to be in the trunk. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if there was some kind of either chronokinesis or chronotelekinesis involved with that. You know, I'm not saying it was, but there's no other way to explain it. I was fully present driving. I wasn't in an altered state and I wasn't speeding because I wasn't. And I was talking to the other two in the car and they were responding. Nobody was sleeping.
No.
We were drinking coffee and talking about the weekend. And how is that even possible? So,
because it is definitely a good 2 hour journey, especially from Richfield. You know, I think it's probably 2 hours from where I live in the North Metro. So, that is very strange. I got to say,
I know. Right. So I can't explain it. And I'll just promise everyone that I wasn't speeding because I don't speed. I don't want to get pulled over. I have no desire to get pulled over. And I had nothing, I had plenty of time. We had nothing to get to. We had no rush. So there was no reason for me to speed and risk getting pulled over.
Right.
It was a nice, lazy Sunday morning. And there's no reason. So I don't understand how it worked, but it did. And there were three of us in the car. We all witnessed it. So I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting. Crazy.
I know, right? And when you start thinking about it, I think a lot of us could find different times in our life where maybe we experienced something in some of these categories, you know, some kind of freak electrical phenomenon, you know, that someone was maybe involved in or didn't get hurt and it was lightning or a big, you know, some kind of power surge and they didn't get hurt or something. I mean, who knows? Anyway, so I think a lot of us could probably go through the list and think, oh, I've had some experience with that and didn't even realize it.
Right.
You know, until you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So Mike is saying, how about balance? If you manipulate one thing, it has to come from somewhere. If you slow time here, does it speed it up somewhere else? Good question.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of that car trip, you know, with the either chronokinesis or the chronotelekinesis, whichever one it was.
Mm-hmm.
And our trip went really fast. Does that mean something else went really slow for someone else?
Don't you wonder?
Or did it slow down for us later that day? Like, I don't remember what happened the rest of the day, if anything slowed down extreme.
Right.
You know, would it happen to me or would it just happen to someone else? Like, I don't know. That's a good question. I would assume that there has to be balance. Don't you think, Steph?
Well, yeah, there always has to be balance. Something has to
give.
Slow down or something if you, that's 45 minutes, you know? But yeah, because there's always balance somewhere. And even if you don't realize it, it takes it from, you know, like we said, somewhere else. And then he's also saying, I've definitely experienced time compression expansion based on the same thing you saw, fixed speed, fixed distance, but time doesn't make sense.
Right.
I think probably everybody's probably experienced that. I think I've probably experienced that a time or two. I couldn't put my finger on one instance, but it's like, you're like, wow, like this trip to Bemidji should have taken 4 hours and suddenly I'm here in three. I mean, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because I do think it happens quite often and we're just not, we don't pay attention. We're not paying attention. We just think, oh, that's nice. I don't know what happened here, but you don't really think about it. Then you just think, oh, I'm here an hour early. So this is awesome. Now we can do this, that, and the other thing. And then you're on to the next thing.
Exactly. You know?
Because that's how our minds work, that they're so filled with other things that it's like you wonder, but then you let it go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I want to get back to the aerokinesis because I wanted to, I have another story to share if that's a-okay with
everybody.
So this happened a few years ago and this was outside. I was, and I've shared the story with some people and maybe here on the show too. And I know I've shared this with you, Steph, where I was down in Illinois with, Tim and another investigator and we were staying at a haunted farm.
Yeah.
That, one of the things that we were going to do while we were down there is, it was supposed to be formerly some, land that had been inhabited by Native Americans and the land had been gifted to the white men. And this is the story I was told a long time ago, which I don't know the actual situation. That's just what I was told. But we were told that there was the sacred tree that they would do ceremonies. And in doing a remote view, I asked, both Tim and I independently saw this, some of the spirits from this original tribe and had said, you know, we'd be honored if you'd allow us to do a ceremony there again, because I felt compelled. And so we asked and they said, we've been waiting for someone to do a ceremony here and we would like you to do it and we'll show you what we would like done. And so it wasn't just that we were going to do a ceremony. We were going to do something that they needed to have done there. Mm-hmm. So we did, we got all the directions from them. And we had to go out to this sacred tree, which is basically we had to cut through this cornfield, which if you've seen any of those scary movies, that is not fun.
No, and so, Children of the Corn, I'm thinking.
And so we did. We trucked out there with all of the things that they wanted. I mean, I made different kinds of food for them as offerings and gifts. And I, you know, original recipes that I had to look up online to try and find something that was as authentic as I could get it with my resources. And some of the sacred objects and tools, and I brought my drum and different things to bring out there. And it was interesting because what month was it? It was September, I think. And it was very warm and very still. And so the wind wasn't moving. It was hot and it was just no air at all, no movement anyway. And so we get out to this tree and there's this little patch of land right under the tree that's right in the middle of this huge cornfield, and the tree is massive. And so we do this ceremony, and as I start doing some drumming, we could hear behind or all around us these spirits coming around and forming a circle around us. And as I'm drumming, I feel a spirit, and Tim said that he saw it. I didn't see it. He said that he saw a spirit come to me, and he said, as soon as the spirit kind of stepped into me, the drumming changed. And I was not drumming anymore. It was someone else. And it was this beautiful story that they were telling through the drum. But as we were drumming, he was drumming, I was drumming, whoever was drumming, we could feel the air shifting above us at the tree level, not even at the corn level, because we were surrounded by corn that was a little bit taller than us. You know, it hadn't been cut down yet or wasn't going to, I don't know how it what they were doing with it. But it was very, very tall. Maybe this was the end of July. I think it was maybe, no, it wasn't September. It was not July. so this corn was really tall, and this tree right above us just started moving, and it's swirling and just causing this ruckus, like, oh, get out. And everybody just was swept up in this moment. I mean, you just felt this presence of spirit, and this wind up above us just started going crazy, and this tree was just whipping in the wind. And then when the story was done with the drum and the ceremony was done right after that, the wind stopped. Oh. And it was just no wind again as we were walking through the cornfield the whole rest of the day, nothing. It was amazing, and it was odd because everybody said, what was with the wind? And I'm like, I don't know. Because it was really weird, because it was so just almost dead. You know how the wind sometimes just gets that heaviness and it just doesn't move? And that's what it had felt for the whole day, the whole weekend, I think. And then this wind during the ceremony, that's it, just whipped up.
Right.
And then it was done as soon as we were done with the ceremony.
Yeah, that, you know, and that reminds me, Heidi, remember when I talk about how we went up to the top of Maiden Rock and how every time we got, you know, we would go kind of to the edge, and you know, the story of Maiden Rock is that a maiden of a Native American tribe jumped off there rather than marry this man that they wanted her to marry, and she fell to her death, of course. And so every time we went kind of towards the edge of that rock, the wind would pick up. And like it was telling us, you have to move back. We don't want you to suffer the same fate, is what I'm thinking. So interesting. And the wind was not moving anywhere else. You know, we looked at the other cliffs and nothing. It was just right where we were.
That is so
crazy energy, right? Could this be the same thing? Maybe.
Yeah, it could be, because, you know, there's that happening, you know, whatever it is, the spiritual happening, maybe there, this paranormal, spiritual, whatever, that is maybe interacting with the element.
Well, exactly. We always felt like they were pushing us back so that we wouldn't, you know, fall to our deaths as well. And we still have to go back there at some point and see if it happens again, because it was amazing, Heidi. It was really amazing. It's a long hike up there. And it's funny because every time we seem to plan on going, it's on the calendar, either it's torrential rainfalls or something else that prevents us from going. So something doesn't want us up there yet. When we're ready to go, we'll be granted the opportunity to go back there, I think. But it was amazing. So I do kind of think this is kind of along the same lines.
Absolutely.
With that crazy wind. And that had to do with Native Americans as well, right? So
Well, crazy. And I have one other example, and this one just happened, it was last October, and I was doing a ceremony outside by a lake, and there was probably 40, not quite, maybe 40 people in the ceremony. We were standing in a circle, and again, it was just a normal October day. It wasn't, you know, I don't recall it being extremely windy or anything. I mean, maybe it was, but it was really interesting because during the ceremony, all of a sudden, wind, and I had been using this singing bowl this time, not the drum, and the wind just whipped up, and all of a sudden, these ducks come flying up out of the water from this lake that was right near where we were doing the ceremony. This wind whipped up, these ducks started flying, and I mean, I've seen ducks fly, I don't even know how many times, right? They're everywhere. Right. And they flew right into the trees that were above us.
Oh.
Like, they usually miss the trees. They usually fly around the trees, above the trees, not into them. And it was a ruckus. I expected to see ducks hitting the ground. That's how crazy it was. These ducks flew into the trees, and everybody, yeah, Karen, you were there. Were you there? It was last October. So, yeah, it was, I think it was last October, or so it was last spring. Anyway, it was nuts because these ducks just flew right into the tree. And everybody looked and went, wow, that's the weirdest thing we've ever seen, because ducks don't fly into trees.
Right.
Like that.
No.
And so I don't know if it was the wind or the ceremony or what, but it was definitely something that shifted these animals into going into some really abnormal behavior.
Kind of a frenzy thing almost, you know?
Yeah, it's like they had lost all track of what they normally do, in flying. They don't fly into trees, and they poke their little eyes out if they fly into trees, so, and get their little wings caught up. So I felt awful, and none of them hit the ground, and we didn't see any up there, so I think they kept flying. I think they were okay, which is good. I'm glad they were okay. But I didn't know if it was some, you know, we were all confused as to what was happening because it was so out of normal animal character. So
it's crazy. That is crazy.
But it's interesting, too, because that was also during a ceremony, which might fit with some of this, like we had been talking about before, you know, connecting with the elements. And, you know, I've done a ton of ceremonies. Has that been considered practice? We were talking about this before with, you know, people having, you know, there's all these websites we've mentioned, right, with learning how to do this. And you have to go out and practice.
Yeah.
Is that what I've been doing and didn't know it?
Maybe.
I'm not saying I was. I'm just asking the question.
But, yeah. No, maybe.
And so is that what's happening because I've done so many ceremonies? Is it actually practicing? And now I can go out and whip up a little mini cyclone in the tree next time I do a ceremony? I don't know. Maybe I'll
You think you have to have intention to do it, though? I mean, you know, I mean, all these things happen, but you didn't will them to happen. You know, you didn't. It wasn't your intention for this to happen.
No. But is it the elements? Are the elements affected by the energy, or are they? Is it the elements' way of contributing to the energy of the ceremony? Yes. Like, maybe they think it's a good idea. You know, everything that was happening felt good and positive. I mean, other than the poor ducks and the tree, but they seemed okay. They left. Yeah. But otherwise, it seemed okay, you know. So I wonder if it was a contribution to the ceremony by the elements, maybe in agreeing with what was happening. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
And Karen's saying it can happen by accident, too. And I'm not sure what part, but maybe the wind kicking in on its own. So we have... Braden in the chat room is saying, I could share my own experience. I've never been able to perform aerokinesis, but when I was younger and went outside to try it, I had an overwhelming feeling that I am not ready to do this and need to learn more. Looking back, I guess it makes sense because I barely had my feet in paranormal water and I barely had my feet in the paranormal water and was immature. I didn't even know about cleansing or being an empath at that point. Well, right. And there's a lot to learn before we maybe try doing any of this stuff. So it's probably good that you had that caution. And that's, you know, for a lot of these, I mean, to sit and practice doing electrokinesis, I mean, that sounds scary, you know, if you're not careful.
I mean, like we've said about a lot of things, magic included, you know, you got to kind of be careful when you're doing this stuff because you can get into big trouble or cause things to happen that are catastrophic and you know, you have no intentions of doing that, but it sure could happen, couldn't it? So I think people really need to look at this stuff with restraint, you know, maybe think about it, but not really do it because could create a lot of trouble, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly it. You know, you have to be just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. Right. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Karen is saying the elements have free will too. Yeah, they do. Because it's all free will, right? Yeah. This is a fascinating subject, actually.
You know, and one of the things that we didn't even get to talk about, so we might have to table this for another show. We were going to talk about telekinesis too.
We're down to a few minutes.
I know, right? And I have had so much experience with telekinesis in different paranormal investigations. It is crazy how often it has come up. And so I'd love to talk about that. Maybe we'll continue this topic next week and just focus on telekinesis because I know we could fill a show with just telekinesis because it's such an interesting topic. And I've had so many cases that have had involved telekinesis. It's really crazy. So we might have to save that for next week.
Yes, Karen's like, yes, let's do that. Okay, so we will. So all of our listeners, make sure you join us next week at the same bad time, same bad place, so that we can talk about telekinesis.
Yeah, absolutely. And bring your stories, too. You know, join the chat room or send us an email ahead of time, and we can read it on the air ahead of time if you can't be at a computer, but you can listen through your phone or whatever, and you can't do chat room. You know, you can send us an email ahead of time if you have a story about telekinesis that you'd like us to share on the air. We could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's saying yes.
Yes. This is a good one.
Telekinesis it is.
I guess we have our topic for next week.
Yeah.
One of the other topics
that people can share ahead of time too.
Yes. Yes. And we also have to revisit time travel, which I've been talking about, and we need to schedule that one. So maybe like in September, we'll talk about the whole time travel thing. Cause that was such a good subject too. Cause everybody loved that one. And, we just need to have a little bit more time and a little more research. And I know Ghost Dance has a lot of places that we can go to for that. So we will definitely work with him before we get that back on the air.
Awesome.
But wow, we're down to the last few minutes of the gathering again. It's just went by so fast. And here we are at the end. I just want to plug the Calling Radio Show tomorrow because Kim and I from Squatchers are going to be on there talking with Jerry and Alan, talking to Cliff Brockman from Finding Bigfoot. Last week we were on, but Cliff had the time, I don't know, between Cliff and Jerry, they kind of mixed up on the times. So Cliff was trying to join at like 5 minutes before the time the show was done. So he said he would come back on tomorrow. So we are on tomorrow. So everybody listening, I believe it's at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Para X. So take a listen. It'll be a fun hour because Cliff is a really fun guy too. So, and we will be with him at CryptidCon in a few weeks. So this is just kind of a little preview of that visit. So that'll be fun.
Perfect. Yeah. I have a home clearing tomorrow night, so I couldn't join.
Yeah. But. Yeah. There's just something all the time. Right. And it's,
I know.
Whatever.
I'm an evenings and weekends kind of worker.
I know.
That's my deal.
I know. For sure. So, so everyone listen in. And then next week, we're going to talk about telekinesis. Send us your stories if you wish. Otherwise, just be on the chat line and we'll talk about them on there. And Heidi, what do you have coming up this week yet?
I am crazy busy as usual. I'm actually officiating another wedding this week, so I'm really excited and honored to do that. So that'll be this weekend, as well as we have another investigation at the Bakken this weekend, so that'll be fun as well. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, everyone, make it a good week, and we will see you right here. I guess, am I too early? I guess we have a couple minutes left. What else
should
we talk
about? Couple minutes. Well, you didn't say what you were working on. You just cut right out to the end. I'm like, hey, you weren't even saying what you were doing.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, we do have, our paranormal group, we have a meeting this weekend, and we're also supposed to be doing a little investigation of something fun that we want to do and a place we want to go. So, but I do have the weekend scheduled to do more yard work. I know that sounds but I have so much to
gotta
do.
Be done.
Gotta we don't, done. You know, like you said, Sasquatch would be happy in my backyard, and I think
that's
true.
What I'm saying. You need to just leave it and put a little note out saying, hey, Sasquatch, come on over, hang out, and we'd like to interview you for our show.
Great. Yes. So. Well, maybe that's what we'll do, right? Maybe Sasquatch
just
will
leave
come
the yard.
And, that's, you know, we can
interview yourself. Right, yeah. Just save yourself. Get a guest out of it. It'll be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, so we will
we'll be back next week.
My cat, if you can hear her, everyone, she's like screaming like, Mom, it's time now.
Well, and it's time. We have to get going. Thanks to the Para X Network for hosting our show again. We love it. And for everybody that joined us on the chat room and that's listening to us tonight, hopefully you had fun, as much fun as we did. And thank you to Sarge, our most awesome producer, for producing our show.
Yes.
And we'll have our sequel to this episode next week.
Yes. There you go. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.